James Nash. Thanks, James.
A little help from my friends. Thank you all.
The next fellow down there I want to be sure to introduce you to. This young man is he's kicking up some dust in the old bluegrass world. His dad's a fine old-time musician from California, and Tom Sauber. This is this young man, Mr. Hollywood, we'll call him. He's got a movie credit. What was it? A Mighty Wind? Was that the name of the movie? He goes in, as you know. So please make welcome Patrick Sauber.
Anybody ever heard of California? That's where I'm from. Thriving bluegrass hotbed.
We gotta get together sometime, man.
Yeah.
It's you and me.
No, it's right, not true, though.
Yeah, I don't know how I ended up playing so, you know, traditional bluegrass and old time music in Los Angeles, but it happened. And I don't know what I'm doing up here with these guys, so I feel like Sanjaya. Don't vote me off, please.
Yeah, you can text your votes to Patrick's cell phone. Well, actually, we've got just a few minutes left, so this is a Mandolin workshop, so if we could just have a couple of questions. Anybody has something directed toward any of us or all of us, and we'll repeat the question and try to answer it. Any questions? What mandolins were we playing? Well, real quick, let's just go down the line and everybody tell about their acts.
I've got a 04 varnished fern Gibson.
This is a 1926 Gibson fern that I purchased from, I call this my Tony Williamson model. I bought this from Tony Williamson.
I play, this mandolin was signed on March 31st of 1924. I got it in Christmas of 1976, and I've played it every day ever since.
I have an Adam Steffi model Gibson, and excuse me, it's made in 2003, so not quite as old, guys. Doesn't sound very good, I must say.
Ouch.
This is an April 25, 1923 Gibson that I've had about 2 years. Tony didn't own this one.
Yeah, you did.
This is a 1937 Gibson F5, modified over the years. Tony Rice named it Old Hoss about 30 years ago. I got it in 1973, and before I owned it, it belonged to Norman Blake. And there's a tape of John Hartford, an audio tape only, John Hartford and Norman Blake in a sort of a crazy moment one night when they decided to take all the finish off this mandolin. Then I got new finish put back on right before I got it, so now we're back to where they were again. But it's an old F5.
This mandolin is a Sim Daly model mandolin that he had. This was a shop mandolin. It was never meant to be sold or seen, probably. He said, well, there was a minor flaw, so I was going to cut it in half, is what he told me. And I said, don't you dare, and I stole it from him, and I took it, and I won't let him have it back.
Yeah, this is a six-year-old. It's a lowly A model, but it's made by Collings from Austin, Texas. They make fine mandolins.
I'm just playing a cheap Pacific Rim import made by some guy named Gilchrist. Made in 2005.
Guitar, it's a mandolin. It's a free Mexican Air Force mandolin. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
Just above the radar.
Another question. That's a good question. We'll get back to you on that. Anything else? How old were we when we started playing?
I was 16. I started playing mainly.
Yeah, I was 15.
Actually, on my brother's fifth birthday, my dad got him a mandolin, and he told me not to touch it. I was four.
I've been playing since I was eight. I'm 15 now.
So. I was an embryo. Being the son of Dale, I think so.
He's a McCurry. He was born with it.
I was 13 years old when I started to play the mandolin.
Age 11 for me. I started.
Age 8 for me.
I started playing guitar when I was 9, and I guess I've been playing the mandolin for about 10 years now.
When I was 10, I started playing accordion. But I was 16 when I started playing mandolin.
I started playing the banjo ukulele at 12 and then graduated to the mandolin at 16.
Good age. Anything else? How many hours a day do we practice?
As much as possible.
It depends from day to day. When I was really young, I played all the time. And I have a 6-month-old now, so not quite as much.
Well, you know, my thoughts on the practice thing is it's like you can't cram for an exam. I would say 20 minutes a day is better than 4 hours once a month. So.
And all God's people say, what? Amen. with me, I go into a public school and being in school all the time, it makes it kind of hard to, you know, really practice several hours a day. But, you know, I play every day, so even if it's not hardcore practicing, you know, every now and then I'll break out a Sam Bush record or something and try to steal his licks. But just playing every day, even if it's just a little bit, I think is always really helpful and a good way to, you know, stay in shape and to learn more.
Well, when I was younger, I practiced all the time, but as I got older and playing a band that plays pretty much all the time, it just kind of keeps me in shape, you know. I do a lot of practicing on the stage, as they say.
Actually, when I started at age 11, it was kind of like, I feel like that was fortunate to start so young because I did have a lot of time to practice before you graduate from high school. You need to make a living and diversify your attention, but I think you find a lot of us, especially when you play professionally, it's odd that you don't practice as much as you'd like to once you become a professional musician. But the best practice is on stage, because I gotta tell you, you make a big flub in front of the entire Merle Fest, you might not do it again. So you might not do it again.
Oh man, used to practice a lot as a younger person. Not as much anymore, but I think good advice for me or that I give other people is to not put it away in the case. Keep an instrument stand somewhere in your living room or, you know, if you're able, keep your mandolin out and I will practice for like 5 minutes, you know, 12 times a day.
Yeah, and even if it's 5 minutes one time a day, I mean, really, that's kind of the thing that I make myself do is pick up at least one of my instruments every day because, you know, like I said, everybody's got a job and maybe it's professional musician, maybe it's whatever you do, but getting the instrument in your hands every day I think is the most important thing. So don't feel like you've got to sit down for 3 hours or even half an hour. I mean, if you're dead tired and you're going to bed, pick the thing up for 5 minutes, and I find that keeps you in touch with it.
For me, practicing mostly consists of listening to music. I mean, I listen to probably 10 hours of music for every 1 hour that I practice. And it's mostly old stuff, old bluegrass, old Bill Monroe, and it just helps because if it's in your head all the time, it won't take much to make that connection from your brain to your hands. And during the course of listening, if I hear something that I don't do right, I'll pick up the instrument and try to figure it out. But yeah, playing a lot, just playing shows and stuff, that takes care of most of the physical aspects.
Okay, time for one more quick question. Yes, sir. How old were we when we started in our first band?
I was actually playing banjo and guitar in the first band I was in, and we needed a mandolin player, so I learned at 16 to do that. So I picked up the mandolin because that was kind of the only thing left and needed.
My first band was Livewire. I was 19. It was with Scott Vestal and Robert Hill and Ernie Sykes.
My brother and I started doing our duo in church around, I was about 8.
Oh, geez, okay. Well, my family has always, played and sang music in church together and stuff like that. So that's kind of how I first started playing music, and then, just meeting other people. So I kind of have a band together, and this weekend we're playing some. It's me and Corey Walker and Clay Hess and Jamie Boer, and we're called Sierra Hole and Highway 111. So about, the past 3 years, I guess, we've been doing that. But I'm currently unemployed, I guess you could say.
I was 13 when I started playing the mandolin, and about 6 months later, my dad put me in the band, asked me if I wanted to play. So I was just playing the rhythm, and I always say sink or swim, because these guys were all professionals, and it really made me have to keep up with it. So that's how old I was.
I was 12 when I started playing. I had two sisters that sang folk music, so this was back in 63, and so we learned folk songs to play with my sisters, and then when I was about 13, I started playing fiddle in a bluegrass band. The band was called the Grayson County Boys, and featured a guy that later we used to hear sing around, and Danny Jones, great lead singer.
I heard a J.D. Crow record when I was 12, and it made me want to take up the banjo. I started playing banjo, I think, when I was like 12 and a half. And had a band with my brother when I was 13 years old, so I guess 13 would have been my first band.
I was 5'2" when I got into my first band. playing rock and roll music and, for high school keg parties and all sorts of stuff that I wasn't telling my parents about. And then I found out that they really were kind of okay with it. I think that if you can get a chance to play with anybody anywhere, or by hook or by crook, that's the best way to get started out. And don't feel like you got to practice for years before you go out and play with people. Because I think some of the stuff that I really learned was early on, that I was lucky enough to live in a neighborhood where there were some Sunday kind of potluck get-togethers and people would bring instruments. And, I learned a bunch of old tunes that way and just sort of hammered along. I wanted to do it and I didn't know what I was doing. So, don't just jump in there.
I guess my first band experience would have been when I was about 10, and it was all Cajun stuff. I wasn't kidding about the accordion. And I did that for a long time, and then, because I wasn't good enough at bluegrass for anyone to hire me. And I suppose I was about 18 when someone asked me to join a band.
Okay, guys, Mandomania is drawing close to a close, but we are going to feature one more song and an answer to your question as to what it will be in the key of A. The old classic mandolin number that Pee Wee Lambert played with Ralph Stanley, which was entitled Ralph's Banjo Special. Pretty unusual title for a mandolin instrumental. But we can also call it Daybreak and Dixie. I want to thank Peter Rowan, Pat Sauber, James Nash, Dan Kaminsky, Ronnie McCurry, Darren Aldridge, Wayne Benson, Sierra Hull, and of course Sam Bush. Thank you.